We serve such an incredible, incredible Savior. And I'm so thankful that I serve and my Heavenly Father is a mighty God. And I'm glad that when a world that seems to be spinning out of control, and every day you listen to the news and maybe watch the reports or watch it on the internet, however you get your news, that you look and you see and all of the various opinions and everybody throwing things out, and it just seems like one half the world hates the other half the world, and one half the country can't stand the other half the country, and one half the state can't stand the other half the state, and one half the city doesn't like the other half the city because what they believe or don't believe. But we serve a God that, even though everything seems to be spinning out of control, He's very much has it all in control. And sometimes you may feel, sometimes I feel this way, sometimes I feel that God is a million miles away. And you pray and you pray, and it just doesn't seem that God is right there. But in reality, He's much closer to any one of us than what we could ever think. He's as close as just the mention of His name, Jesus. Jesus. Whatever our needs may be, Jesus. Jesus. He's always there to help carry our load. That's what I love about my Savior. Reading tonight in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. I will do my best tonight. I know the Bible says to be instant in season and out of season, but it's always better when it's somebody else's instant and not necessarily your own. And Dad was, just before service, was in pre-service prayer, and he had Brother Dave Shroud and I, we went over and prayed for him because he said he just had a terrible headache and was getting very dizzy, and he said, I'm going to go sit in my office for a few minutes. So he went and sat in his office, and my mother came in and said, your dad wants to see you. And I'm like, oh, it's like going to the principal's office. Uh-oh. So anyway, he did go home, continue to pray for him, and continue to pray for Brother Thomas, that God would touch them. Matthew 11, 28 through 30 says, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon thee, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. Ye shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you're sick tonight, God is able to heal. If you came in here tonight and you have sickness in your body, you don't have to leave here tonight with sickness in your body. If you came here in here tonight and you're tired, I know we just came through an awesome weekend of great powerful services, but you know, sometimes we can just get tired. Sometimes life just has a way of wearing us down, and if life is wearing you down, He will give you rest. The enemy likes to take and he likes to send temptations our way. If we become tempted, He is able to deliver us. And whenever we need a miracle, God is still the miracle working God. So tonight I'd like to preach to you on the topic, if God can do anything, what's keeping me from my miracle? If God can do anything, how many of you have made that statement, God can do anything? And you walk away sometimes frustrated because your anything God hasn't met. Whatever your anything is, God hasn't met. And you get frustrated at times. I know there are times I prayed for various things in my life, and I'm like, God, I really need a miracle here. And at the time, nothing seemed to happen. And sometimes we walk away and we become frustrated. But I want to encourage you tonight. This is a faith-building message. Matthew 17, 20 said, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. James 4:3 tells us we have not because we ask not. Luke 1:37 says, "For with God nothing is impossible." Luke 18:26, 27, going through this, I did not have time to get all of these scriptures into the overhead, and he said, summing it up, "Things which are impossible to men, things which are impossible to men are possible with God." If God can do anything, what's keeping me, what's keeping you from your miracle? One thing that we need to understand about God is God is not some kind of a personal servant or personal errand boy. Sometimes we treat God as though he's just our little sidekick, that when we need something, we just say, "Okay, God, I really could use a new motorcycle. I really could use a new Harley. I really could use a new house, my present house." And we treat God like he's some kind of an errand boy. And we just snap our fingers and say, "God, your word says that it may be impossible for me, but it's possible for you, so I need this." God may be looking down and said, "You may feel like you need this, but you're not going to get this," because that's the way sometimes spoiled children. You take them into the grocery store. We've been there. You've been there. Take your children in, and they want everything on the shelf. It's just one thing after another. "I need this, Dad. I need this, Dad. I really, really need this." Do you really need this? Do you want this? Is it that much? I mean, sometimes we can get that way with God. God doesn't always beckon to our every whim and our every call. When we scream out and we yell out to God sometimes God doesn't always answer immediately. Sometimes it's yes. Sometimes it's no, and sometimes we have to wait a little while. And more often, it's the wait a little while, because God sometimes tests our patience, because we're typically a very unpatient species of being. Is that correct? We want everything, and we want it now. We go to the store, and the store doesn't have what we want. It takes 2 or 3 days to get it. "Oh, I can't wait that long. I can't wait. I got to have everything now." And that's the way we treat God sometimes. But I want to say that God is concerned for his people. And he's always there. He's always there to answer the prayer that we pray. He's always there to answer the prayer that is prayed out of a sincere heart and a heart that is full of faith. It may seem many times a reason why we fail to receive an answer from God. It's not because that we haven't prayed. It's not because it's not God's will for our lives. Maybe we just simply don't understand God's plan. You see, God can see around the next bend. We can't see around the next minute. We can't see around the next second. You don't know what's going to happen a minute from here. God knows what's going to happen a decade from here. So sometimes we don't know what's going on. We don't understand, because God has a plan for our lives. Sometimes we just simply don't understand because we have a lack of faith. I preached a few weeks ago, or it's probably been a month ago now, about faith, about whatever you do, keep the faith. Keep the faith. I really believe that one of the things that we struggle with as an individual, we struggle with as a church, as a worldwide church body, is faith. I really believe. When the Bible says the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you ever see how small a grain of mustard seed is? It's not very big. And the Bible says that God gives every one of us a measure of faith. He gives it to all of us. Every last one of us, he gives us a measure of faith. But you see, it's never been a question of God's ability or God's power to be able to take an answer to the prayers. We read in the Word of God, "For with God all things are possible to them that believe." So we say, "I believe. I honestly believe God can do anything." If we honestly believe that God can do anything, then God can do anything. But so many times we struggle with that. If you will allow me again to ask this question, if God is able, if God is all-powerful, if God is almighty, and there's no other God like our God, if God can do anything, then what's keeping him from your miracle? What's keeping you from your miracle? Ask yourself that question tonight. We serve an awesome and a mighty God. You see, as much as we hear today and we read in the papers about power shortages and all of these different things, and you read about all of the problems that we have on our infrastructure and in this country, and it's outdated and it's getting old, and we need to build more solar plants and need to put more windmills up and build more this and that. You see, God has no power shortage. God has no power shortage. He doesn't have to take and sit back and say, you know what? I'm all out of power for the weekend. I gave 34 people the Holy Ghost in Madison. I'm all out of power. I'm going to have to sit down on Monday, and I'm going to have to regroup myself. God doesn't work that way. We say that on these Star Wars and Star Trek and all of these sci-fi movies, you know, where they got their weapons and they're shooting and oh man, I'm out of power. Our phones run out of power all the time. I'm always having to plug my phone in and all of this. There's no power shortage when it comes to God. God's not limited to the same limitations and things that we deal with. You see, God, sometimes we look in pictures and we imagine that God is because God is eternal and there's no beginning and there's no end, and I can't wrap my brain around that sometimes. But you know, we think about God and we think that, boy, God's got to be really old. You know, I mean, he's millions of years old, billions of years old, trillions. I mean, numbers so large we can't comprehend. So he's got to be this old, gray-headed, bearded man that walks around the galaxies, stooped over with this old, gnarly cane. And God's getting pretty old. Is that the way God is? No. When we think of God, when we think of the Bible, we think of this book, it's a God who has no limitations. It's a God that has no boundaries. And when it comes to power, the Bible said he's the Ancient of Days who fills up all space and time. He's the creator of the universe who has made all things, including man, whom he created in his own likeness and image. That is our God. God has no power shortage. He has no limitations. How big God becomes in our lives depends upon how we really see him. You see, if God is little in your life, it's because you see a little God in your life. It's really that simple. If God is big in your life, you wonder, how come some people always have big things going on with God? Because they see God in a big way. They're taking that faith that they've been given, and they're expanding on that faith, that mustard. They're growing their faith. So when we look at God, how do you see God? How big is God in your life? You know, it depends sometimes on how we put the magnifying glass of his word into our spiritual eyes. Sometimes we read this word and we just read over the word. I gotta get my bread done, my bread reading done today, and man, I'm tired. I gotta read all Psalms 119. I'm gonna have to burn through this. We ever done that? We've all done that. We've been there. I've been there. Man, I gotta get this done. It's 10 o'clock. I gotta go to bed. Man, it's gonna take me an hour to read this, and we just burn right through Psalm 119, but we don't really read it. You see, we're not looking at it with the magnifying glass. We're not looking at it under the scope that we need to look at God's word. When we look at God's word, you see, the focus is upon God, who is bigger than anything that we could ever imagine. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? Hearing by the word of God. The largest animal, when you look at this, the largest animal on the earth is the blue whale. We've all seen maybe pictures on Animal Planet and National Geographic, and you look at how massive this animal is. Just the flippers of the blue whale is bigger than most animals on this planet. They're bigger than the elephant. They're huge, the flippers. The weight of this animal is amazingly huge when you look at the blue whale. But you see, when I look at the blue whale, and I compare it to Mount Everest, is a blue whale very big? You see, it's not very big when you compare it to a mountain. But you see, you could take 100 blue whales, if you could take 100 blue whales at a time and put them in this massive, huge jar, you could put 1 million of these jars inside a hollowed-out Mount Everest. Now, that doesn't make the blue whale look very big anymore. But if you took Mount Everest, and Mount Everest isn't anywhere as big as the earth that we live on, we could stack 100 Mount Everest on top of each other, and it would just be just a whisker on the face of the earth. But you see, when we look at the earth isn't nearly as big as the sun, because you could take 1 million earths and put them inside the sun. But the sun's not anywhere as big as the super red star called Antares. And you could take and fit 50 million of our suns inside of Antares. But Antares isn't near as big as the Milky Way galaxy, for the Milky Way galaxy is made up of billions of stars, including superstars like Antares. But the Milky Way galaxy is not as big as the universe, because there are billions of other galaxies in the universe. Yet filled with billions of galaxies in the universe, when you look at the space between the galaxies and you look at all the empty space that's in the universe, the distance between one galaxy and another are simply beyond human calculation. And who created it all? The one who created it all spoke it into existence, sustains all of this with his mighty power. Can you imagine a place where no human telescope can discover the contents or the vastness or the magnitude? You go on the news now and they're talking about this black space, this power that they're finding, or some sort of a black power or a sub-power that's in the universe, and they're trying to identify where it comes from, and they're talking about the vastness of the universe and how vast the empty spaces really are in the universe. And God said, "Let there be light." That wasn't too hard for God. God didn't have to sit down and say, "Boy, I need to sit down here on one of these superstars and rest for a while because I lost almost all my power." No, God spoke it into existence. And we realize that God is bigger than all of that. And just a mere whisper of the voice of God created it all. I'm totally amazed at nature. When you look at nature and you look at the complex cycles, the complexity, we're going, fall is going in full color and the leaves and the trees, and boy, I've got some mums and some fall flowers around the little pond in my backyard, and they're just absolutely beautiful. And I'm always amazed at how God just created all of this for us to sit down and enjoy. I mean, isn't that just awesome? It wasn't anything for God to create this universe, and everything we will ever discover about it is just not a big problem for God. God just simply, he just never broke a sweat. But when you look at this, you still haven't done justice to the greatness of God. When you read Psalms 139, David goes in and he starts to tell us more about God than just about anywhere else you can find in the Bible. I challenge you to go home and read Psalms 135, 139. He describes just how awesome God really is. But we have to understand some things about God in order to take and make our faith work the way God intends for it to work. You see, God doesn't struggle like we struggle. You see, God showed Moses in his deliverance of Israel that he was mightier than Pharaoh and his armies. God didn't have to struggle in that. That wasn't a fight for God. All God had to do is speak it. All God had to do is say, "This is what's going to happen, and it's going to happen." He showed Joshua that he was bigger than the walls of Jericho. He said, "Joshua, walk around these walls, you know, six times, once every day, and the seventh day, walk around it seven times, and then just get out of the way, Joshua, because I'm going to show you what I'm going to do." And you know what? He took his finger, and on the seventh day, the seventh time, the last person crossed that finish line, and God just went, and Jericho was down, flat. He showed Jehoshaphat that some battles don't belong to man, but they belong to God. Jehoshaphat, listen, get out of the way. You just sing, you worship me. That's what I designed you to do. You just do what I designed you to do, and you know what, Joshua, I'm going to fight your battle. You don't have to worry about it. In the New Testament, after some 400 years of silence, the angels herald the deliverer and the savior. And Jehovah God, the creator of the universe, who had so often delivered in man's past, stepped out of the shadows of eternity. He stepped through time and space, humbled himself, and took on a robe of flesh. Born in a stable, came to show us that God is certainly more than enough for our every need. He opened blinded eyes. He unstopped the deaf ears. He caused the dumb to speak. He healed the leper. He caused the lame to sleep. And he caused the dead to raise again. All he had to do was say, Lazarus, come forth. He was the giver of life. It's nothing hard for me. It wasn't any hard for me to say, Lazarus, come forth, than it was, let there be light. Luke 4:18, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, and recovering of the sight of the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. You see, God is supreme ruler over everything. Everything. I want you to say that. Everything. Even Satan. Listen, Satan is nothing more than a puppet on the strings of God's toes. Satan can't do anything unless God says. He couldn't even touch. God gave Satan permission to mess with Job. How many times has God maybe give Satan permission to mess with us? Job passed his test. He struggled in his test. He passed it. Some of us, we don't always pass our test. But you see, God is supreme ruler over everything. 1 John 3:8. Because of sin, the Son of Man, or the Son of God, was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. We don't have to worry. We don't have to be afraid of Satan. We don't have to be tempted by Satan, because God rules over Satan. And God is our Father. All we have to do is say, God, this boy is messing with me. Will you take care of him? You see, he rules the heavens. Isaiah 66:1 says, thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. But he not only rules the heaven, he rules the earth. The Lord, Psalms 24:1 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world, and they that dwelleth therein. He rules the kings of the earth. We get all bent out of shape because of politics going on and everything, but got to understand one thing. God rules it all. He's the boss over the Democrats, the Republicans, the Independents. He's the boss over the Muslims, the Christians. Doesn't matter what you fall in, what category you put yourself into, he rules over the kings of the earth. Nothing happens without God allowing it to happen. And we get all bent out of shape. Because, oh man, what's going to happen if this happens? We're just that much closer to the rapture. We're just that much closer to eternity. You know, this whole world has got to fall apart sometime. It is written in Revelation. And so many times we don't want to go there, because it affects our 401ks and everything else. But I don't care, because I'm not planning on being here. We got in a discussion on this Tuesday, Pastor Cohn and Pastor Silo, myself, about the end times and about, you know, militias. And you know, at one point in time of my life when I was backslidden, I mean, I bought guns and ammunition, and man, I was gonna live it out in the Rockies somewhere, and there's no way the Antichrist was going to find me. And I thought, you know, after a while, this is really stupid. All you got to do is repent. All you got to do is ditch your pride, get rid of that. All you got to do is bow on your face before God and say, okay, God, whatever you ask of me, I will do. I will stop running from you. Then I don't need all of this stuff. So I sold all my guns and most all the ammunition. I still have a few left. But you know what? It's not about trying to see if I can survive through the tribulation period. I don't plan on being here. They can have my house. They can have my car. They can have my boat. All of that junk, because ain't none of that Ain't none of that. My door stopper in heaven is going to have more value than everything I own here on earth. I can go out in heaven and I can take and pick up a little gold nugget off the street and it'll be worth more than this building. Why stay here? What's the point? God rules the elements. He rules the elements. Proverbs 30, chapter 30, verse 4. He declares and gathers the wind in his fists. He binds the waters in a garment and has established all the ends of the earth. In the New Testament, Jesus stood at the bow of the boat and spoke to the waves and says, "Peace, be still. Peace, be still." Even the wind and the waves obeyed his command. You see, he rules over our enemies. He rules over our enemies. Elijah understood this. We read the story in 2 Kings 6, 16 and 17. Elijah was surrounded by the Syrian army. Surrounded by the Syrian army, that the angels of the Lord are encamped about them that fear him. And when the servant couldn't see the enemy, he went out and all he could see when he went out was seeing the enemy. Elijah could see a host of heaven, a flaming chariots of fire. And he answered unto his servant, "Fear not, for they that be with us." You see, I don't care how much Satan has camped out around about us. I don't care about all of the iniquity and the sin that's camped out around about this church and our community, because there's a host of heavenly angels that far exceed any power that the enemy has over us. Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee that if you just open up my servant's eyes, just open up his eyes." And when the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he went out and he saw, he says, "Behold, a mountain. The skies were full of horses and full of chariots of fire round about us." There's a whole lot more on our side, Elisha, than what's on their side. There's a whole lot more for us than what's against us. So if there's a whole lot more for us than against us, then we have to ask ourselves that question. If God can do anything, then what's keeping me from my miracle? You see, God rules over Satan. God rules over death. God rules over hell. Our God is. He's a peacemaker. He's a problem solver. He's a miracle worker and a heart mender. Our God, he's my provider. He's my supplier. It doesn't matter when you look at David. According to David, David said, "He's my shepherd and he's my song. He's my rock. He's my sword. He's my shield." I believe Ezekiel said that. "He's the wheel that's in the middle of the wheel. He's a healer of all my sickness. He's a healer of all my disease. He's a forgiver." And I love this. "He's the forgiver of all of my sins and he's the forgiver of all of my iniquities." Imagine what it would be like if we were stuck and trapped in our sins. Forgiveness is such a powerful, powerful thing. He is holy. He is highly exalted. He's merciful. He's majestic. There's nothing that is too hard for God to do. He's the overseer of the overcomers. He's the captain of our salvation. He's altogether lovely. He's altogether holy. And Jesus is his name. You see, when you look in the New Testament, I love this. Herod couldn't kill him. Herod tried, but he couldn't kill him. He didn't have the authority to kill him. The politicians of the day couldn't bribe him. He couldn't be bought. The Pharisees couldn't trick him, even though they tried. Pilate couldn't touch him. The devil couldn't budge him. The cross couldn't keep him, and the grave couldn't hold him. And there's no sickness. There's nothing that he cannot cure. There's no financial problem that is too great for my God. There's no problem in my life and in your life that is too big that he can't handle. I've told you, God healed me from a knee having to have knee surgery, and I'm thankful for that. But I've got another petition before God because I struggle. And I've struggled for years with acid reflux. If you've never had it, don't ever get it. There's nothing worse, and those of you that struggle with this, than laying in bed in a sound sleep, and instantly your mouth is full of stomach acid. It's horrible. It's terrible. It's rough going out and eating a $15, $20 nice sit-down steak dinner, only to have to stop on the way home and throw it all up beside the road because your stomach can't handle it. But I want to tell you tonight, I believe in God that He's bigger than my acid reflux. He's bigger than your grandmother's Alzheimer's disease. He's more powerful than your cataracts, and He's more powerful than your cancer. He can defeat the depression that holds you bound. He can destroy Brother Mike Thunder's diabetes as he's laying in an emergency room right now. The emptiness in our hearts, the emphysema, epileptic seizures have to go in the name of Jesus. He's bigger than our knee problems. If you're here tonight and you suffer from migraines, He can cure. Is all you got to do is speak it, and your migraines can be gone. In Jesus' name, the Bible still declares, and it hasn't changed, that by His stripes we are healed. He took on our sicknesses. He took on our infirmities. This is the power of the Almighty God. You see, He's far more powerful than a hurricane. He's far more impressive than a nuclear explosion. He has power that is able to change anything and anybody. He has power that can override and suspend all the physical laws of nature. Gravity doesn't answer. God doesn't answer to gravity. Gravity answers to God. Physics doesn't apply to God. God doesn't work by the physical laws of nature. As impressive as all of this can be, if we would take the time to just comprehend, take the time to contemplate and to understand this, we need to understand just exactly who God is. You see, every Christian, if you're here tonight and you've been born again, you've been baptized in Jesus' name, you've been filled with the Holy Ghost, you've repented at an altar of repentance, the power that He gave you is the power. You have access to all of this power. We have access to this power. If you just received the Holy Ghost and the devil is pushing you around, then it's time you pick up your word and you push back. Because this is our power. This is what gives us the authority that we have. You see, you say, we can have access to it, but it's not utilized because so often, and I think this is just human nature. I want you to understand this. It's not utilized so often because we don't take advantage of anything that we typically don't always understand. So when you look at the Word of God and you say, you know what, Brother Roy, I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying, but I don't understand it. And because we don't understand it, we don't take advantage of it. But the Bible doesn't say we have to understand everything that's in it. It says we have to believe in faith. Faith is what? Faith is simple as a little tiny, minute grain of mustard seed. And you take your faith, and you take the Word of God, and you take your experience with God, and you apply those three things together, and there's absolutely nothing that Satan can throw at you and throw at me that can defeat us. This is so silly sometimes when we think about this in the physical realm. We take advantage of things that we don't understand all the time. I look at my cell phone and I just scratch my head sometimes because I try to figure out, how does this thing work? I call up the cell phone store and I say, listen, I'm having problems with this. It keeps telling me this. They say, bring it in. And they do a whole bunch of things to it. And they fix it and they give it back to me. And it works fine. And I'm like, how did you do that? I don't understand how this works. Can you understand how that flying through this building right now is probably a 500,000 pictures of all sorts? Who knows? We get emails. How do they take a picture and send it through I mean, it's like, where did, they're just went the Encyclopedia Britannica. There goes, we can't see it. It's there. It exists. We don't understand it. If we're asked to sit down, most of us, if we're asked to sit down and explain to us how our automobile works that we drove to get here, we couldn't explain how it works. Yet we drive them every day. We don't understand things. How come it is that when it comes to the Word of God, if we don't understand something, we just don't do it? I mean, because I don't understand how my car works, so I'm going to walk the rest of my life. I mean, I don't understand a lot of things that go on. I don't understand sometimes how my own brain thinks. But it doesn't mean I'm going to throw it out. Go in and tell the doctor, I need you to cut this part out because I can't figure it out. Computers, cell phones, all of these things. Cures for cancer. They start talking about some of this stuff and, man, it's right over my head. I have no idea. Some of these medical things and how all of these, your body works. And I mean, it's amazing how God designed our bodies. It's just, if you're in the medical field here tonight, it's probably old hat to you. And, oh, yeah, this, and this. But for me, it's just like, wow. It's incredible. I wake up in the morning and my eyes, they can see, they can focus, and my eyes work with my brain and my memory in my brain, and there's a little spot in your brain that's less than the size of a golf ball that controls the bulk of all of your memory and all the things that you know. All the things, it's amazing how all of this works. But I believe it. But how many times, because we read in the Bible and we say, you know what, Lord Brother Roy, Pastor Grant, you know, I know what you're saying. I don't really quite understand that. So because I don't understand it, no, I don't think I'm going to do that. Then we'll go out and get in our car and drive home. Something we don't have a clue how it works, other than we just know we got to put gas in it and oil in it. We pick up our cell phone and we call our wife, tell her to throw something on the stove for us or whatever. I mean, all of these things. What we really need to know, what we really need to believe in, what we really need to utilize is the great power that God wants and desires to place at our disposal. You see, power that we don't always understand, power that I don't always understand. I don't understand. It doesn't make any sense to me that someone can come down here and ask for healing and I take some oil out of a bottle of olive oil that grew in some tree over in Greece or Italy or someplace like that and put a little spot on somebody's forehead and start to pray for them. I don't have the power and ability to heal one person. So if you're coming up here tonight and you think I want to go up there so Brother Roy can pray for me, I can't heal one person and I never have. I can't give one person the Holy Ghost. I can't do any of that. But I have an awesome God that can, and I understand it. I believe it. We desperately need, especially the day that we're going into church, we desperately need the power of God. We need to recognize that the power of God is available to every one of us. And if our musicians can come, if you can go ahead and stand. You see, we need to start by recognizing the power that's available to each and every one of us. If you're here tonight, as I said, if you're baptized in Jesus' name, you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you've spoken in other tongues, you've repented of your sins, you've experienced Bible salvation. All of this power is available. You don't have to struggle. Sometimes the reason we struggle is because we try to do everything on our own. We're like those little 2-year-olds, my little granddaughter. I mean, Ava, she got to do everything on her own now. No, Poppy, no. Me do. You can't do that. I know she can't. She can't even pick the pumpkin up to carry it, let alone try to take and cut it up. She can't do that. She tries to do it. She wants to do it. And that's the way we are sometimes with God. God comes down and says, you know what, Brother Phil? Let me carry that load you've been carrying. Oh, no, God. I wouldn't know what to do without it. It's been here for so long. I've struggled with this for so long, I don't know what to do. And yet when God says, you know what? Lay it on. Give it to me. Let me. I'll carry your burden for you. We don't want to let it go.
Suddenly I feel you holding me.
We need to allow the faith of God.
Suddenly
we need to allow the power of God to work in our lives. So if you're here tonight,
suddenly I feel you holding me,
and you believe God can do anything,
keep me away.
But God hasn't done that anything for you.
Sweep me away.
Maybe you need to come down to this altar and get maybe a different perspective on what God really is and how God really works. We need to build that faith up. There's brothers and sisters that are here that are willing to pray with you. You don't have to fight this battle alone. You don't have to go through these struggles by yourself. That's why God put a body. That's why God put you in a body. A body of believers. If you're here tonight and you need a healing, whatever it may be, I want you to come over on this side. Our pastors, our ministers that are here, you can come up and assist in prayer. If you're struggling in life and you don't have the answers and you're looking for the answers, I want you to come here in the middle. And if you've never experienced the baptism of the Holy Ghost or you need a refilling of the Holy Ghost, sometimes we just let our tanks run empty. Sometimes we just let ourselves run out of juice. We go too far between fill-ups. And you need a refilling of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So I want you to come over on this side.